Happy New Year and good morning, basketball fans, and welcome to another edition of the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi along with Matt Verkey, and we'll take our first look at the sectional classification standings as we reach the season's halfway point. We'll update you on all the holiday tournament action this week, and we'll reveal our updated Girls Super 6 and FL1 Sports Power Rankings straight ahead on the Upstate Hoops Podcast. All right, welcome inside the FingerLakes1.tv studios early on a Sunday morning. Just got home from the Sotus Waterloo game last night, broadcast live on FL1 Sports, an overtime game between Waterloo and Sotus. We'll recap all the action, including Clyde's upset win against Minders today. And as I mentioned, we'll take a look at sectional classification standings for the first time. So welcome into the studio, Virk. How you doing this morning?
Good, Jim. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And, a lot to talk about today here, so let's get right to it with some of the results from this week in Wayne Finger Lakes action. And we'll start in the East, where Newark lost at the Rush Henrietta Tournament to McQuaid, 83-44. Wayne defeated Greece Olympia at their own tournament by a score of 66-38. Braden Zenilovic had 16 points and 9 rebounds in that one. Also in the Wayne tournament, Pell Mack drops a 9-point decision to College Prep despite 25 points from Holden Knorr with 7 three-pointers. Tough game for Pell Mack playing out of league, challenging themselves. That'll help them during sectionals for sure. Midlakes defeated Kendall 73-40 thanks to 14 points from Justin Huber. That was in Gananda. And Waterloo, who I mentioned, beat Sotus in overtime last night, now on a 3-game winning streak. They started that streak earlier this week at the Red Jacket Tournament, defeating Geneva 50-49, 1-point victory in a game that was not an FL East game, as it was in the tournament. Ben Deming with 23 points and 14 rebounds in that one. Noah Barber led the Panthers with 15. And then Waterloo comes back the next day and defeats Red Jacket 72-33 in the championship game. 15 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks for Deming in that one. And Dan Colasurdo had 14 for Red Jacket. And Red Jacket had some nice wins in the, I think it was Naples that they beat in the West. So Waterloo really taking it to them and not looking too good for the West here. And then in the consolation, Geneva beat Williamson 63-28. Williamson a little bit improved in Wayne County, but boy, Geneva really took it to them. Tyler Tyson had 13. And then Newark falls to Pittsford Sutherland 60-48 in the Rush Henrietta Tournament consolation. 14 points from Nate Beard, 14 points from Jose Santel. Wayne loses to College Prep in that tournament's consolation game 60-39. And Pell Mack comes back and beats, or actually that would have been the championship game there, the College Prep defeating Wayne. And then the consolation game in the Wayne tournament, Pell Mack beat Greece Olympia 80-62. 19 points from Brandon Hawkins, 15 from Holden Knorr, 15 from Devon McLean, and 11 from Hunter Vandebeld. And then as I mentioned last night in overtime, Waterloo beat Sotus 57-53, buying 21 points, 12 rebounds from Ben Deming, 11.6 assists from Dikembe Ayers, 5 points, 13 rebounds from Daquan Kingston. And we had a chance to, or actually Harold Weber and Mike Alessio, who called the game, had a chance to sit down with Daquan Kingston last night, and we're going to play you that interview right now.
Well, we're back here in Waterloo. The game is over. It took overtime to decide this one in a topsy-turvy back-and-forth ball game. Waterloo winning this game 57-53. Daquan Kingston is our special guest on the post-game show. Daquan, thank you very much for coming up.
You're welcome.
Talk a little bit about the game. It looked like, for me and Mike, my commentator buddy, looked like early on, the beginning of the game, a little nerves maybe, a lot of turnovers. Nobody really got ebb and flow. And then Sotis started banging home some threes. You guys obviously had to get your attention to that point.
Yeah, at the first start of the game, I mean, we had two wins before, we were up, we were feeling good before the game, and then things started to not go our way.
Right.
And, well, what happened, and we were talking in the locker room, and coach was telling us that, you know, he wants a team that we know that we can beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
So we started lifting ourselves up, lifting each other, not talking negative, positive, talking to everybody, and we got the win.
Well, certainly you had to be, you know, you get to the point in the third quarter, all of a sudden you're down 10, and you've got a young man from the likes of Sotis, I believe his name was Johnson, who had like three threes in a row.
Yeah.
He was on fire.
Yeah, he was. That set us off a little bit, but we got each other back in the game.
Now, certainly, you know, you look at your season thus far, it's no secret. A lot of us thought you'd be in the hunt in the Finger Lakes East. You know, you're on the snide at 0-5. That surprised me and a lot of people who follow high school basketball. You've had close games. It's not like you haven't been in them. You have close games, and now with the second half of the season, you're certainly going to turn it around and try to get some of those W's.
Definitely. At the start of the season, I mean, we were bringing our team together. Things weren't going our way, but we hit the streak that now we're on a winning streak, and we're going to try our best to keep it going.
That's right. Mike, talk about it. Yeah, coming off the Red Jacket tournament.
Yeah,
and,
this one. You know, we were talking a little bit before the game with your buddy Mark Pettifer.
Yep, definitely.
Talked to him a little bit before the game. Now, you had a great game against Red Jacket, 14 rebounds and, 10 points?
Yes.
I think. Now, was that your first game that you've contributed like that this year? Or I'm assuming you've been coming, your role is you're coming off the bench, right?
Yeah, I'm coming off the bench. But that game, I felt that we were in the championship games. I've been practicing hard. You know, I played good in the game, and that put me on a good set this game.
Yeah, I think you did a great job tonight. I mean, congratulations on the win for
Thank you.
But you do a great job getting some great position. Got a nice key rebound down there at the end. Good converted a foul shot on there. You got some good form. What's it like in practice? Are you covering Ben Deming in practice? I'm assuming that's your role in practice.
Yeah, that is my role in practice. He's a very good player.
Probably makes you a better player.
It definitely does. I mean, from coming up where I haven't really, since the sports team, I'm a bigger kid, so usually I'm the top one.
Yeah.
The one that not people want to go against too, but from coming to this team, from playing against somebody who is better than me, it has definitely made me a better player. I've learned new moves. I've done better with footwork, you know, different ways to get around people. He's definitely helped me out a lot playing in practice because he's definitely an amazing player to play against.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
And by the way, you're just a junior.
Yes,
we
I'm
should
junior
say. So you've got another year and you got another half and all of next year.
Yeah.
To continue to improvise and to improve and to help this team move along. And again, I think the area is still in a state of shock when I couldn't figure out how you guys were not in the hunt in the East so far, but it's a long season.
Yes.
And, you know, we saw Geneva stumble, and you had opportunity of beating them the other night in the Red Jacket event.
Yes, we did. By one
But we saw Geneva all of a sudden explode a couple of weeks ago. My granddaughter's a cheerleader there, so I go up to most of their home games. And Geneva won, something like 25 points over a good team. I can't remember. Wayne May was in town. But the point is, you never say die.
Never,
it was a long
never.
Season.
Yeah, definitely. We have a long season.
Did Coach have anything to say? You know, one key point in the first half, I know, was you're getting beat back on for some break points. Did he bring that up at all about the guards getting beat back on fast break points?
Yeah, he said that we need to get up on our feet more. You know, we need to be more active and not jogging back and forth on the court. Mm-hmm. We need to sprint everywhere we go. Always play hard. Box out every player when a shot goes up.
How was practice after the winter tournament, kind of building on that momentum?
The practice after, we were a little happy, so practice wasn't amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that since we did good, you know, we didn't have to practice or anything. Yeah. But we really do need to practice hard at every practice.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Definitely.
Well, listen, we appreciate you taking time out after a very hectic game, a game that I know you can keep it hectic all you want as long as you come back with the W's, and
definitely.
That's all the important thing tonight. So congratulations on the big win tonight. Much needed, and continued success.
Thank you.
Looking forward to watching you play.
Definitely.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Daquan Kingston, our special guest, junior here from Waterloo, who played a pivotal role in tonight's overtime victory against the Sotis Spartans. As most people have cleared out of the gymnasium, that's going to be our next move.
There you have it. Daquan Kingston, newcomer to the Waterloo program, played strong last night. on the boards, and that overtime win for Waterloo and Virk. You know, Joe Spezzato was interviewed at halftime of that game and asked about, you know, why the slow start for Waterloo with all this talent, and he cited chemistry issues, the same, you know, thing that's plagued this group for the last 2 or 3 years. They got a ton of talent, but, you know, you wouldn't – they are on a three-game winning streak, all out of the league, but 0-5 in the Finger Lakes East.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about Waterloo, obviously, on the show for the last 3-4 years. They're a talented team, like you said. They just haven't gotten over that hump yet. You know, you would think with the upperclassmen they have and the experience they have, you know, we kind of thought that this might be the year that they do, you know, make a run in the Finger Lakes East and put up a decent record in the East. You know, they're struggling, but, you know, maybe now building some confidence, getting a little confidence in, you know, the new coach and the new system and things of that nature. You know, with a big week coming up, you know, they got Minders Friday, and that's, you know, that's always a big game regardless of records. So, you know, I still look for Waterloo to win some games here in the East and, you know, and improve as the season goes on.
Yeah, and you mentioned that game against Minders. Obviously, game on Finger Lakes 1 next Friday. Weber, Mike Alessio, and yourself be calling that one. Girls-boys doubleheader. But, you know, I think that's a scary game for Minders coming off the loss to Clyde that we'll talk about in a little bit. It's going to be Waterloo Super Bowl. They're not going to win a league championship, and I can't imagine that they're thinking too much about sectionals either.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, if I'm Ben Deming or Stenberg or, you know, Dikembe Ayers, you know, these kids have gotten beaten up by Minders year in and year out for their whole careers. These kids have been playing varsity for 2-3 years, and Minders has really taken it to them in just about every game, you know, and they've been kind of lopsided. So, you know, there's got to be a little bit of pride there. You know, these kids aren't going to get a chance to, you know, play Minders on their home court in Waterloo very often. And that game's in Waterloo, right?
Yeah, in Waterloo.
So, you know, yeah, you're right. I think it's a huge game for those guys, and I'm sure they're looking to, you know, get that first victory over Minders in their varsity basketball career. And, you know, Waterloo has some pieces to match up with Minders. You know, we saw Minders against Clyde, and Minders dominated the inside, you know, in Waterloo with Kingston and obviously Deming inside. You know, I think Kingston provides that other big guy that can match up with some of these Minders bigs and maybe give them some trouble.
Yeah. So let's kick it over and look at some of the results here in the Finger Lakes West. A really poor week for the West, and the way things are playing out, though, you know, the West is looking, you know, not too great. Started out with Genesee Valley beating HAC 71-46 at Jasper Troutsburg's tournament. Then you had Prattsburg falling to Honeoy, 69-65. Honeoy moves to 5-3 with that win. Jake Soliday had 24 points. John Marble had 15. That at Prattsburg was the host, hosting that tournament. Also at Prattsburg, Naples falls in a two-point decision to Panama at a Section 6, 42-40. Zach Dormer had 15 points and 12 rebounds in that low-scoring game. You wouldn't think Naples could put up more than 40 points. Naples was down 7 late in the game, 40-33. Zach Dormer scored 6 straight points in the final 2 minutes and scored with 40 seconds left, tie the game at 42. Panama got the ball back and found their best player, Eddie, for a layup with 20 seconds left. Naples chose not to call timeout, went down the court to try to tie or win it. Graydon Ross missed a three-pointer with 5 seconds left. Dormer got the rebound, couldn't put it home. And then Conrad Rathbun missed a late-second tap in, a last-second tap in there. And it was Naples falling to Panama. Hammondsport defeated HAC in the consolation of the Jasper-Troutsburg tournament 47-33. Red Jacket defeated Williamson out of Wayne County at Red Jacket 54-35. Dan Brown had 18 points. And then in the consolation game in Prattsburg, it was Prattsburg defeating Naples 56-43. And Zach Dormer did not play that game, a family obligation. Andrew Fleischman led the way with 19. So 0-2 for Naples over the holiday week. And, you know, looking at the standings in Wayne County right now, you still have that tie, or actually half-game lead for Dundee up top. Bloomfield has been quietly hanging in there. And, you know, while the overall quality of play, I think, in the West is down, Virk, you know, there's a three-team race right now for that league title.
Yeah, you know, Naples obviously had a tough week there, but they were both out-of-league games, obviously. And, you know, it's kind of surprising, you know, Honeoy beats Prattsburg, but then Prattsburg came back and beat Naples, and obviously Naples was down a player. But you know, that league's gonna be interesting, and you know, I don't know how good, if any of those teams are, you know, sectional championship worthy or anything like that. But the league race should be fun to watch, and you know, especially with Naples, you know, looking a little vulnerable now. You know, Dundee, Bloomfield, Honeyway all going to be in the mix, and then you know, South Seneca kind of there scrapping on the outside. So should be an interesting league race this year.
So let's look at some of the results in Wayne County, including that Minders upset, Clyde upset in Minders. Just last night, it was East Rochester beating Boulevard Richburg 75-52. 23 points from Keith Butler, 16 points from Matt Cicero, and 13 from Casey Michelle, as ER bounces back from their loss last week at North Rose Woolcott. Lions hosted Early College at the Atwood. It was Early College winning 65-37. And Kendall defeated Marion 71-50, and that was at the Gananda tournament. Also at the Gananda tournament, the host, the Gananda Blue Panthers, beat Marion. Again, a couple of Wayne County teams there, but not a league contest. Final score 78-40. Kyle Lombardozzi, 18 points, 10 rebounds, and Ricky Mosman 15. And then the game of the holiday break, really, it was a game that yourself and Dave Barnett called on FL1 Sports on last, Wednesday?
Tuesday, I think it was.
Tuesday night.
Yep.
And it was Clyde upset in Minders at the Arthur L. Baker Gymnasium, 73-68. Derek Chance had 18 points and 6 assists. Trey Canale had 16 points. Jared Faniel had 15. For Minders, Ben Cafola, 22 points. Was pretty effective inside. Jake Mean, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Kellen Carraher, 10. But, man, it was turnover city for the Blue Devils. And you had the sense that they thought they would pull it out in the second half, but Clyde had other you know, ideas. And a really nice win for Tim Jackson in Clyde Savannah.
Yeah, that was a good high school game. It was a good crowd, which, you know, I didn't know what the crowd would be like, being that it's over Christmas break. But, you know, Clyde came in and played hard. And I think Minders had a little bit of a hangover coming off of the holidays there. You know, they're down 25-8 at the end of the first, and just really turned the ball over a ton. Just weren't able to find any rhythm. And you can kind of tell right off the bat, you know, Minders wins the tips. They come in, and Brett Anderson missed a wide open layup. And, you know, things from there just went downhill in that first quarter. But, you know, give Minders credit. They crawled back into the game. I think they actually took a 5-point lead at one point. And then, you know, Clyde was able to come back and take the lead and maintain that lead. You know, it was a good game. You know, Minders' big guys dominated in the paint. And, you know, I think that is the strength of this Minders team, is those, you know, Cafola and Mean inside. Those guys are athletic. They're able to finish. Obviously, they need to convert their foul shots. You know, that played a big role in the game. You know, Minders missed a bunch. You know, I think they missed 17, 18 free throws.
And Clyde made theirs.
Yeah, you know, it was a really back-and-forth game. And Minders, you know, give Minders credit for crawling back into it. But, you know, a tough loss for Minders, especially when you know, we're going to talk about it later, but when you look at sectional points, you know, we're a B school losing to a C school. You lose a lot of points there. And, you know, the way things are shaking out, that loss could come back to haunt them down the road for sectional points.
And Clyde picks up some nice sectional points with that win, too. And again, Minders was the number one team in our power rankings. Clyde was 8, so an upset that'll affect our rankings that we'll reveal at the end of the show, our updated rankings. And I was, you know, got to give credit to Clyde. It seemed like when Minders down the stretch was kind of panicking, Clyde kept their head. They got a lot of layups. Trey Canale was really impressive, I thought, that game, Virk.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Clyde play a couple times this year, and they did look like a different team. You know, we saw them at the chiropractic college, and it was a game that was close at halftime. Minders pulled away for a 12-point win, but, you know, I think Trey Canale made a huge difference. They were finding him in the middle of that zone. He made a couple pull-up jumpers, and he also had a couple nice drives. You know, they put Chance on the foul line a lot. I think he attempted 12 free throws. You know, he's a kid who you want to see him make shots from the outside. He's not a great shooter, but, you know, give Chance credit. He got to the line. He did a good job of running the team for Clyde Savannah. And then, you know, Faniel got to the basket a couple times there late and made a couple nice layups as well.
Well, Jared Faniel sat down with Dave Barnick for the Dr. Rod Littlejohn Smiles with Style post game after the game on Tuesday night. And let's take a listen to that interview.
Game in general, and of course to the victor goes the spoils. One of those heroes or fine players for Clyde Savannah. Happy to have with us Jared Faneuil. Congratulations, Jared. Great game.
Thank you.
Now, you guys were on fire early, caught them on their heels a little bit. Mm-hmm. Looked like you might just blow them right out of the gymnasium. And then they came back, and really in the third quarter and much of the fourth, it was back and forth either way. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking when that lead started to disappear?
We got to start back playing like a team. And that when we let them come back, we stopped passing the ball, playing as a team, quick shots, just not playing together. So we had to slow it down, get back in the game.
How much was it on the mind of you guys, or did Coach Tim Jackson bring up the fact that you opened the season and had that double-digit loss?
Yeah. You know, when we lost that first game, we wasn't – the first game of the season, we weren't playing together or nothing. So he told us, come out and play hard and just give it your all, and that's what we came to do.
So it's got to feel pretty good.
Yes,
little extra Christmas present here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of help from – you know, Derek had a great game.
Yep.
Trey Canale, especially in the second half,
mm-hmm.
you guys all contributed – what do you think was the difference tonight?
Just played together. The first game we didn't play together. This game we played together. We practiced on giving everybody shots, finding the open person, and that's what we did tonight.
Now, there was a strategic move late in the game. Their big guys, Kafola and Jake Mean, had big games.
Mm-hmm.
Were scoring almost at will in the second half.
Yeah.
They took Kafola out. He had struggled at the foul line. Were you guys prepared, if necessary, to do the hack-a-shack, so to speak?
Nah, coach didn't ever bring that up, but I would have did it, though. I would have did it because he was struggling at the foul line.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure football question. I know you had a great football senior year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a preference of sports?
Yeah. I'm going to go to college. I'm probably going to go out with my brother Joey to Morrisville.
And play football.
Yep.
But you're enjoying the hoops right now.
Yes.
And it's warmer inside anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to wish you and your teammates congratulations.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Good luck the rest of the way. Got some tough games coming up.
Yes.
North Wolves woke out one of them.
Yes.
But the Golden Eagles are to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. When we play as a team, we're good.
Well, I want to thank you again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Finger Lakes One.
Thank you.
That is Jared Faneuil, and one of the heroes in a great contest, 73-58.
There, that's a little better. So that was a great game by Jared Faneuil and Clyde, and a huge win. One game I forgot to give the results of just last night down in Watkins Glen. Watkins Glen out of Section 4 defeated Dundee on their home court in their own tournament, 52-40. So the Upstate Hoops podcast and all our coverage of Wayne Finger Lakes High School basketball is brought to you thanks to the support of Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by FLCC, thinking about life after high school, get your degree at Finger Lakes Community College. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, delivering over 30 years of smiles with style. So, Virk, let me go split screen here because we got to talk sectionals. This is something we get excited about. Potential Wayne Finger Lakes teams making it to the Big House, some postseason matchups involving Wayne Finger Lakes teams. So let's take it right from the Section 5 basketball website and pull up some standings right here. And, you know, starting out in AA, no Wayne Finger Lakes teams, but Fairport, one of the best teams in all of Section 5, obviously, along with East High, 7-0, both 7-0 East High program with the most sectional titles in I guess every Wayne Finger Lakes team's glad they're not in this class, right?
Yeah, this class is brutal. Obviously, you know, you got Bishop Kearney's a 12 seed. They play an independent schedule, and I think they're in Pennsylvania over the holiday break playing some teams. They're in Buffalo. They're in Albany. So obviously, you never know where they're going to fall, and they're going to present some early tournament matchup problems for some of those teams up there. But, you know, Fairport's always a stalwart. They haven't won a sectional title in, I think it's been 6-7 years now. So they're looking to bounce back and, you know, get that elusive title that's kind of – it's just so brutal up there. You know, there's no easy games when you look at that. You know, all those teams are very capable teams, and you got McQuaid in there. Obviously, all the private schools, the big private schools are in there, Aquinas. So that's going to be an interesting to see how that all shakes out.
You got to hand it to Victor at 6-3. Good start to their season.
Yeah, they're having a great year so far.
So now if we just quickly look at Class A1, again, no Wayne Finger Lakes teams, but teams we might be seeing up at the Blue Cross Arena. Greece Athena, alma mater of John Wallace, leading the way. They're 8-1. With a sizable lead over Rondacoit in Pittsburgh. And then Canandaigua as well with a winning record right now in the top half of that classification. So it's nice to see our former Finger Lakes East mates, Victor and Canandaigua, starting to have some success, because since that move, Virk, they just have not been.
Obviously Monroe County is a little different than the Finger Lakes. And, you know, there's no easy games in Monroe County. And, you know, those schools have gotten so big, they really obviously don't belong in the Finger Lakes. So, you know, probably a good move from them. But, you know, for basketball-wise, for both those schools, it's been a little bit of a struggle. But, you know, Greece Athena is the class of that classification. You know, they have a Division I player in Anthony Lamb. I think he's going to the University of Rhode Island. Probably a favorite for Section 5 Player of the Year this year.
Right. So let's kick it down now so we can start talking about some Finger Lakes schools, and might as well keep it in order and go to A2. Where you have Geneva and Wayne, and this is a situation, Virk, where these two schools, Geneva and Wayne, both are just in a tough position up in A2, with Newark no longer in A2. They dropped down to B1 this year, but, you know, you saw what College Prep and UPrep have done when they've been matched up against top Finger Lakes teams, and Wayne and Geneva not in the top half of the standings right now in the Finger Lakes East. So, you know, do you give either of these teams any chance to make a run in A2?
I don't think so. You know, Geneva's down this year, obviously. You know, they were able to win it a couple years ago. Obviously, they had a tremendous team, and they made a great run. But, you know, this year, obviously, Geneva's struggling. Wayne is young. You know, maybe in a couple years, Wayne can, you know, pull this when these freshmen and sophomores, they get a little bit older. You know, maybe Wayne will be able to compete in that classification. But, you know, you got a Wilson team that's 3-6 who beat Paul Mack in Newark early on this season, you know, as an 8 seed right now. So that kind of speaks to the strength of that classification.
So now we can kick it on down to B1. And this is where it's going to start to get interesting here, as we have a ton of Wayne Finger Lakes teams in B1 right now, including Pal Mac, who's currently the second seed, Midlakes, the fourth seed at 6-3, and then Newark, Penn Yan, Waterloo also in the mix. And there's a pretty good chance we're going to see some local matchups here in B1.
Yeah, obviously, you know, they got four or five teams from the Finger Lakes East in there, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see maybe two matchups between, you know, Finger Lakes East teams. And, you know, Hornell, they're more known as a football school, but, you know, doing well in basketball this year. And then, you know, you throw in Livonia's traditionally strong. They got a great little point guard that we've seen play. Palmyra is tough with all the good guards they got. You know, Newark, Midlakes, Penn Yan, Leadership was a team that went to Glens Falls last year. Obviously, they had some losses. But, you know, then you got a Waterloo team who could be dangerous right now, sitting at a 9 seed. So that will be interesting. And obviously, we'll watch that classification close with all the Finger Lakes East teams in there.
Yeah, and I think Livonia beat Pal Mac earlier this year, and Newark. So,
you know, and I look for, you know, Newark sits there at 5-4 as a 5 seed. I think they're a team that's going to move up. You know, they played a pretty tough out of conference schedule this year, and you know, three of their losses are out of conference, out of league. So I look for them to make a good run here. You know, Midlakes will probably slide down a little bit. They're going to lose a few more games in the East, obviously. So you know, that'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out.
Yeah, Newark coming off this week, going up to Rush Henrietta, playing a couple A schools. That can only help you.
Sure.
Come sectional time. Not going to help your record, but, you know, the record is not important as the league titles or sectional titles. So Bob Haverilla prepping his team like he usually does with a tough out-of-league schedule. And even Penn Yan has bounced back a little bit over the past couple weeks. And as you mentioned, Waterloo seems like if they can figure out their chemistry issues, they have the talent to make a run at any of these teams. So certainly B1 will be interesting, but maybe Virk not as interesting as B2, which is what we've been talking about all year. North Rose and Minder's been atop our power rankings for most of the year, and it's kind of a matchup that we're hoping to see either in the semifinals or finals, North Rose versus Minder's. And then Marcus Whitman sitting there at 7, a little disappointing. They certainly can improve to return to the sectional semifinals where they lost last year to North Rose Woolcott, just one game shy of the Blue Cross Arena. But clearly North Rose and Minder's is the matchup that we're hoping for at some point.
Yeah, that's, we obviously, being from Central Falls, we follow Minder's closely. And we talked about it. I don't know a whole lot about Attica. Obviously, we don't get out that way too often. But
Wellsville's a big spoiler here.
Wellsville has a great point guard. We saw him play last year, and I was looking at some of the scores, and I saw they had lost to Livonia, but he had 32 points. Those 1-4 schools are going to be great matchups if those seeds hold par, and we were talking about a little before the show that, Minder's now that lost to Clyde, they lose a couple more. They could slide down into the 4 spot even, and then you might see a North Rose Minder's game and over in Waterloo or something in the semis. I'm not sure how Coach White would feel about that, but right. That would most likely be the site.
Well, it's still not a long drive for North Rose either. I mean, North Rose really turned out last year against
Sure. I think they'll travel well. It's just, Minder's plays there regularly. Mm-hmm. Obviously North Rose had a good game there last year as well. But, it would be fun to see how these matchups shake out.
RCMCS also right. in there.
And that's the other reason that, I think Minders wants to avoid sliding down the 4 is not, if RCMCS stays at that 5 spot, that's a team who has struggled a little bit this year. They got 15 games in or 13 games in already this year at 6-7. But, a team that, we saw play last year, they got some very capable players. And, if they get hot, they're capable of winning a couple games in that classification as well.
All righty, let's move it down into the C classes now. No C3, just C1 and C2 this year, a little different than last year. And this is a team, this is a class in C1 that doesn't have any big favorites out of the Wayne Finger Lakes. But you'll notice East Rochester coming in at 4. And Clyde Savannah up to 6. And these, I should mention, updated January 1st. So the last class we showed you, B2 there, does not include Clyde's win over my – or no, it does include that. It doesn't include any games played.
Waterloo's win.
Okay. So that would affect Sotus in right. here. Sotus is at 11. Red Bloomfield, Red Creek, Gananda, right in the middle here, you got 6 Clyde, 7 Bloomfield, 8 Red Creek, 9 Gananda, and then 11 Sotus. So a ton of Wayne Finger Lakes teams, but, can Bloomfield or Red Creek or Gananda compete with, Early College and Avon?
Yeah, Pembroke, Avon, Early College, I don't know much about Pembroke, Avon. We saw Early College, I don't know, they might be the favorite out of this right now. ER is tough again, I know you got to watch them play. They bring it every night. They're well coached, and they made a run to the finals last year. So this will be very interesting. The way Clyde played the other night, they're going to be tough outcome sectional time as well. If they continue to play together and play like they did that night, then you get some of these World of Inquiry, teams that it's tough to judge. But this will be interesting as well.
And then down to Class C2 here, where we have Dundee, maybe the class of the Wayne Finger Lakes in C2, along with Red Jacket is a 9 seed, South Seneca 14, Lions 15, Marion 17. Out of all these teams, you'd like to think Dundee has a decent chance to make a run. And I've said it for a while, I still think even Lions at 1-8, if they can get it together in the second half of the season, can make a run in C2. And this is where it's different than, A2 for Geneva or the B classes for Minders. a team from the bottom has more of a chance to make a run here because the teams at the top, although North Star Christian and Geneseo obviously very good, but you still could make a run as a lower seeded team to get to the semis and see what happens once you get there.
Sure, you know, obviously there's some teams with some very good records. You know, you don't know the strength of some of these leagues. You know, North Star Christian's a private school. Don't know a whole lot about them either. But, you know, Lions could win a few games. You know, I think they're going to get a first-round matchup that they're, you know, going to be very capable of winning, and then who knows from there. But that's going to be another interesting classification, and see how that all shakes out.
And then we can now drop it down to the Ds, where real quickly here in D1 you got HAC at 16 seed, but then you have Naples at the 4 seed, and Naples not as great as the last year's team that went 19-1. They were 19-0 before losing to RCMCS in the semifinals in Bloomfield last year. Can they get back? Notre Dame Batavia looks good, but York, Genesee Valley, Mount Morris, all very good. So we'll, and also Honeyoy resurgent at 9 seed right now in D1.
Look out for Vitas.
Yeah, Virtus.
Who, yeah, can't see the R in there. Okay,
exactly who they are. But new charter school in Rochester at 2-3. And then if we just scroll down here to Class D2. There's just one team in here, and that would be Romulus at 15 seed. We can't even scroll down that far at 0-8. So probably don't like Romulus' chances.
No.
So, it's that time of year again where we start wanting to look at these sectional standings from week to week and start looking at some of the potential matchups. And because that's the ultimate goal for any of these teams is to get to the Blue Cross Arena and sectional finals. And speaking of postseason play, Virk, what do you think about the decision? This is the last year in Glens Falls. I mean, it's been there a while. That's where you guys won your state championship in 92, and now it's going to move down to Binghamton. You have any thoughts on that move?
Yeah, you know, I think you missed the nostalgia of Glens Falls since that's where it's been for so many years. And, you know, a good venue there. You know, I think the Civic Center is kind of a little bit dated. You know, they're going to bring it up to Binghamton and play at the, I think at the War Memorial there or whatever that arena is called. But I think that's a little bit more updated. Personally, it's a little nicer. For, you know, I'd be more willing to take a ride down to Binghamton to catch some games and obviously driving up. Yeah. You know, we made that drive to Glens Falls last year. That's a hike. But, you know, I don't mind moving it. It's still centrally located within the state and, yep. You know, a little closer for us. So, you know, I look forward to getting down there at some point and seeing some of these games.
Yeah, I certainly think for us here in Seneca Falls, Central Finger Lakes, it's easier to say, hey, let's go check out some of these games. How long a drive was it to Glens Falls? 2.5-3 hours?
Yeah, it's good. All it's 3 hours. Yeah, it's a good 3 hours.
Yeah, so Binghamton just a little under 2, so a little bit closer. And but the facilities at Glens Falls were outdated, but I tell you, a great atmosphere inside the arena. Once you're inside, it's kind of like almost a mini, more compact Blue Cross arena.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a great venue. It got great memories there, and obviously a lot of, you know, New York State high school basketball players have a lot of great memories there. So, you know, you lose a little bit of that, but you know, go to a new venue and new memories we made, obviously, and I'm sure they'll have a great venue there. And you know, a lot of it boils down to money, and I guess Binghamton offered a great financial package for the state, you know, mm-hmm. New York State basketball. So they won the bid, and we'll see how it goes there.
And that has to hurt Glens Falls economy just a little bit. So many people come sure. from all over the state and filling up hotel rooms and eating at restaurants. So
I think they're still getting the Federation tournament there the week after States.
Oh, no kidding.
But at least for the next couple of years, I think they're hosting the Federation still.
Well, let's move ahead to our players of the week this week. A couple of Finger Lakes East players getting the honors this week. Virk, who do you got?
Ben Deming from Waterloo. You know, Waterloo had a big week, obviously 3 wins and, you know, 24 points, 14 rebounds against Geneva, and then came back with 15-10 versus Red Jacket, 21 points, 12 rebounds versus Sodas. And, you know, these are kind of the numbers we expect out of him. You know, 20 points, 10 rebounds. You know, there's been games this year where he's been held to single digits, and that's, you know, if he's going to be held to single digits, Waterloo's not going to win, which was the case early on. So, you know, I think he's being a little more assertive. I think they're starting to look for him a little bit more, and, you know, he's got them on a 3-game win streak right now.
And I got to tell you, 12 rebounds last night against Sotis. I thought he had 12 rebounds in the first quarter. I questioned the bookkeeper there. I might go back and watch the webcast and count him, because I honestly felt like I was half counting the rebounds. I thought he had 20-something rebounds. He seemed to get everything. So congratulations, Big Ben Deming, Player of the Week. My Player of the Week coming from Pal Mac, Holden Knorr, 25 points, 7 three-pointers in a loss to College Prep, 15 points, 5 threes in the win over Greece Olympia. And so that's 12 threes in 2 games. I mean, this kid can flat-out shoot it, and he's going to be the one that needs to get hot from the outside for Pal Mac to contend in the second half of the season in the East, which is super tight right now with Newark, Pal Mac, and Minders all with one league loss. And then, you know, coming into sectionals, if Knorr can shoot three-pointers at that clip, Pal Mac and Dan Harris's squad going to be a really tough out. So congratulations, Ben and Holden, our Upstate Hoops podcast Players of the Week. So, Virk, time now to take a look at our updated power rankings in girls Super 6. Let me start it out first with the Super 6 and get it right up there. And you can see here we have Wayne, undisputed, number one, without a doubt. And then after that, it gets a little more convoluted. South Seneca jumping all the way up to number two, just with all these impressive victories, defeating Minders last week and defeating Romulus.
They beat Newark as well in a non-league game.
So Heather Mott, South Seneca Falcons, representing the West and the south end of Seneca County, up to number two. And then it really is very difficult to sort the rest of these teams out. Geneva at three, Gananda at four, Minders at five, and Midlakes at six. And now Geneva beat Minders, Midlakes beat Geneva, Minders beat Midlakes, Gananda beat Midlakes. I mean, you can't make any sense of it. So as the votes come in, we just kind of are taking shots at the dark here, but maybe over the next couple of weeks that might become a little clearer.
Well, Minders Geneva play again Wednesday, and you know, I think Geneva's had some injuries there, so that, you know, the first time Geneva kind of handled them pretty good. So, you know, look for Minders, get some on their home court, and you know, I'm sure Coach Anderson will have his girls ready. That's a big game. I know that if they're going to contend for that league title, they're going to have to beat Geneva Wednesday.
So let's kick it ahead now to the boys' top 10 power rankings and much anticipated poll this week. With the number one team, Minders, losing to Clyde Savannah. And so let's take a look and see how that is shaken out. Got 10 Penn Yan, 9 Naples, 2 out-of-league losses, dropping them from 6 to 9 this week. The Midlakes up 1 from 9 to 8. Dundee falls 1 from 6 to 7. Clyde, with that big win, jumps up a couple spots to 6. And ER, who had beat Clyde earlier this year, at 5. And then you got the 4-3-2, Newark, Minders, Pal Mac. Newark, or Minders, falling from 1 to 3 with that loss, and Pal Mac, the beneficiary, up to number 2. Well, North Rose Wolcott, finally. There's been a lot of people saying, look, North Rose Wolcott should be number 1. Well, there you have it. The new number 1 in the power rankings is North Rose Wolcott Cougars, the only undefeated team left in the Wayne Finger Lakes. And, you know, part of it was they got that big win at home against East Rochester. A lot of people wanted to see how that game played out maybe before they gave them the number one vote. And then, you know, North Rose beat Clyde pretty bad the first time they played, and I just can't see North Rose losing to Clyde the way Minders did. I think it's clearly they deserve number one.
Oh, yeah, spot. No doubt about it. I think, you know, North Rose is – played themselves into that position. You know, they got some big wins. They beat Clyde, they beat ER. They've played well all season, and they've handled most of the Wayne County teams by double digits. I think they're in a good position there at the number one spot, and you know, I look for them to maintain that throughout the rest of the year.
The other thing I look at here is, and something we talk about a lot, is the leagues. You know, which league's better than that league? And heading into this season, the East clearly would be the best league, you'd think. But, you know, out of the top six, it's split 3-3, and you got Clyde beating supposedly the best team in the East in Minders, and North Rose being the cream of the crop. even when you get down a little lower, took Waterloo overtime to beat SOTUS, you know, last night. So even the bottom of the league, I'm not telling you, obviously Waterloo's better than Marion and probably Williamson.
Yeah, you know, I think top to bottom, the East is still without a doubt the best league. When you know, there's no gimmies necessarily. I know Waterloo hasn't won a league game yet, but, you know, Waterloo would be 500 at least in Wayne County, I would think. But, you know, the top teams in each league could all beat each other, obviously. And, you know, I think, you know, Wayne County kind of proved that big win by Clyde over Minders. You know, and you know, ER could probably compete or beat Minders, Paul Mac, or Newark, you know, on any given night. Obviously, they did it last year in sectionals. You know, I just think the strength of the East is their depth. You know, there's no – when you're looking at Minders, Newark, Paul Mac are up top, then coming back with, Mid-Lakes beat Lions. You know, there's a lot of
– Penn Yan in the top ten as well.
The thing in the East is there's just no gimmies, you know, where some of these other leagues, the bottom teams are pretty bad and struggling this year. So, you know, I think the East still is the you know, top to bottom best league. But, you know, any of these top three teams from any of the leagues could beat each other.
So there you have it. Congratulations, North Rose Woolkit, taking the top spot. It'll be theirs to lose. They may not lose it for the rest of the regular season. You know, ER is going to play an at ER is going to be a tough game for them. You know, they got Clyde again. I can't remember if they're going to have Clyde at home or on the road. But that'll be a tough one. The rivalry game against Red Creek, another challenge for North Rose. But and then as far as the East goes, the second half season is going to be great watching Pell Mac, Minders, and Newark battle it out and maybe see if Mid-Lakes can get back into the mix in the East. So it should be a great second half of the season as we are just about a little over 1 month away from postseason play. And if I can give you quickly the week ahead as we get back into full swing of action in league play after couple weeks of holiday tournaments and some out of conference games. Starting out on Monday, Greece Odyssey's at Waterloo, Hornell's at Penn Yan, Port Byron's at Minders, and kind of a weird game there. South Seneca at Mid-Lakes, Destiny Christian at Honeyoy, Lions takes on Bloomfield in Bloomfield, and Cato Meridian travels to Red Creek. Then on Wednesday night, Geneva's at Minders. That's a boys girls doubleheader starting at 6 o'clock. Marcus Whitman's at Penn Yan, Honeyoy's at Dundee, and then in a game on FL1 Sports, it's Naples trailing to South Seneca. Brendan Harrington, Tane Robinson, and Kevin Korzeneski have the call in a three-man booth from the Jack Guinan Arena. Red Jackets at HAC, Romulus is at Bloomfield, Clyde Savannah's at Marion, Gananda's at East Rochester. North Rose Woolkit in their first game is number one here in our power rankings, travels to SOTUS. Who, by the way, SOTUS without Andrew Hines for the remainder of the season. One of their best players, not exactly sure the story behind that, but Andrew Hines is out for the year. Williamson at Red Creek, and then Friday night, it's Geneva at Newark. It could be a test for Newark. Anybody that's playing Geneva can't look past them, despite their record so far this year. And then a big game for Mid-Lakes as they travel to Wayne. Mid-Lakes still needing to prove themselves to the rest of the East after the hot start cooled down subsequently there in the middle of December. So they'll head up to Ontario to face the Eagles. And then in another game on FL1 Sports, it's Minders at Waterloo. Again, that's a girls-boys doubleheader too, so our coverage will start at 6 o'clock, and Harold Weber, Mike Alessio, and yourself, Virk, will have the call there in Waterloo. Big rivalry game. Pell Mac at Penn Yan on Friday night. Bloomfield at Naples, HAC at Romulus, Marcus Whitman at Red Jacket, South Seneca at Honeyoy, Lions travels to Williamson, hoping to pick up that second win. Marion at North Rose Woolkit, Red Creek at Clyde, and that should be a decent game.
Yeah.
And SOTUS at Gananda, and then Saturday, Marcus Whitman travels to Livonia. So, Virk, a bunch of good games there as we get back into the swing of things. Again, the highlights being Minders, Waterloo, Mid-Lakes, Wayne, and that Gananda East Rochester game on Wednesday night's a pretty big one. And, give Waterloo any chance against the Islanders?
Sure. You know, when you got a kid like Ben Deming, who's, capable of getting you, he can control the inside against the other Islanders bigs. He presents problems. And, I still like Islanders to win that game. But, Waterloo is going to have to, hit some threes and play within themselves and, get some confidence. I think early on, the first quarter of that game is going to be huge with Waterloo's past record against Islanders. I can't think of the last time they beat Islanders. So, obviously if Islanders comes out and jumps all over them, Waterloo just might feel like, here we go again. So yeah. I think, Waterloo needs to come out and be ready to play in that game.
Yeah, and I will say this before we get out of here about both Islanders and Waterloo. I think they're both teams that haven't played to their potential of their roster. And I think a lot of the reason is chemistry, not having roles defined. Maybe some people on the team thinking that they should have a bigger role than some of the other guys. And I saw it at the end of that Islanders-Clyde game, the last possession, Islanders had the ball down three and nobody knew what to do with it. The better teams, I think, in those situations know what the plan is. Even without the coach telling you, they know who you want to get the shot and where. And it seemed like with Islanders, anybody could have took it. And in a way, that's a good thing that you have so many players who you'd have confidence to step up in that type of situation. But still, nobody knew who was going to take it. Could have been anybody. It was dysfunctional a little bit.
Yeah, Islanders is pretty unique in that, they're 7-8 deep and, they're all pretty equal. They need to I still think they're a very capable team. And, I think their best basketball is ahead of them. But, they need somebody to be not necessarily even the leader in scoring points or anything like that, but just a vocal leader, somebody to take over and really make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And I think that might be the difference with North Rose when you watch them play. Everybody on that team is fine to say Tyler Norris is our go-to guy. He's the guy that we're looking to lead us and score every night. And then, Garrett Hoyt, kind of the team's emotional and vocal leader. And then everybody else in that starting five, especially Connor Pendleton, Luke Gerstner, Elijah Durham, everybody seems to know their role, be happy with it, and nobody's really looking at the individual stat lines deciding how many times you're going to shoot. They just kind of run their offense. And I think that's the biggest thing that separates North Rose Woolkit from the top teams in the East right now, is just that they have that chemistry. They everybody knows their roles, and they play consistently because of it, where I think all the teams, Palmac, Newark, and Islanders, inconsistent. You don't know exactly what you're going to get each night. So
yeah, and I think as the season goes along, you're gonna see those teams find that consistency and look to step up their play another notch.
Right. So well, thanks Rick for coming in Sunday morning a little bit earlier this week. We're usually on at 10 this week at 9, and not sure exactly what time we'll be back next week, but or who's going to be here in studio, if we'll have any guests. Last couple weeks, we had some great shows with some guys from North Rose in 2 weeks ago and from Palmac last week. So, we'll see what next week brings. Check out the front page of FingerLakes1.com for the live webcast start time. And so thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Until then, for my co-host Matt Verkey, I'm Jim Sinacropi. Have a great week.